Very good morning to each and every one of you. Nice to see you here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church, whether you're here in bodily presence or watching via the internet on Facebook. Welcome to each and every one of you. Before I start, I'm going to take some water. Now, for me personally, there's something nice about at home during the week, sitting down and in prayer and coming close to God, or a time of reading scripture and meditating on his word. I get a feeling of being closer to God at those times. But isn't there something special when the saints of God gather together on a Sunday morning to hear the word preached, to hear his name proclaimed, and to praise God's name together? Then, well, that's what we're here for this morning, to praise his name together and hear his word being preached. Now, I just wonder, as you were getting ready this morning to come to church, did you have any expectation this morning of what might happen here? Did you perhaps settle in your mind that you were going to come to church to give? Or perhaps in your heart you wanted to come to church to receive? Whether that's to give in your praise from your heart with thanksgiving to God for all the good things that he has done for us, or to receive because you have a need in your life. You have to lean hard on his everlasting arms. Then whether you are here to give or to receive this morning, I pray that if it's to give, and to give in your praise to him, that he would receive that sacrifice of praise, or if it's to receive, that God will hear your prayers this morning and will bless you. Well, this morning we're going to go on a new journey together. It's going to be a month-long journey. Starting today, we're going down a special road. Now, this is not a hard question, but feel free to shout out if you know the answer. What special event will happen at the end of this month in the Christian calendar? Easter. Well, it just so happens, that's the correct answer, by the way. It just so happens that the name of our new sermon series that we're starting today is The Road to Easter. And so we're going to start by focusing our attention on Jesus. And we're going to start with praising his name. And we're going to start with a couple of songs. So if you feel in the mood, please stand and sing along with us as we sing the song that Jesus has put into our hearts.
Jesus put this song into our hearts.
Please take your seats. Before we go into another song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and Miles is going to lead us in that, I just want to say a very short prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that no matter what day we come to you in prayer, Lord, you're there to hear us. And you're there to accept us and embrace us. Lord, I pray that you would help us turn our eyes and our hearts upon you this morning and receive our gift, our sacrifice of praise to you. Amen. Okay, I wonder if there are any children in the house of God this morning that has had a birthday recently. Maybe in the last few days, maybe in the next few days to come. Any children in the church this morning has had a birthday? No. No matter how long I stand here, I'm sure there's not going to be a hand to be raised this morning. Oh, well, let's move on. Is there an adult? I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but do we have any more adults in the house that's had a birthday recently? You as well? 20, all right, okay. Well, I think we should sing happy birthday to our two adults.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, this is the time where the children are now going to leave for their groups. And as they leave, I'm just going to send up a prayer for them. Heavenly Father, we pray for our children here this morning. We thank you for them. They are a gift from God. Lord, we pray that you will be with them as they go to their respective groups, that your hand will be upon those that are leading such groups and the things that they've prepared, Lord. And I pray that the children are able to engage with everything that they've got, Lord, to learn, to understand the things of the kingdom of heaven and about Jesus, Lord, and may they have fun. May they have fun this morning learning about you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for them. Amen. And at this time, I'm going to ask Adrian to come up and lead us in a time of prayer.
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing us here this morning so that we can worship and praise you, Lord. Because, Lord, we know it's all about you, Lord, worshipping you and coming into your presence this morning, Lord. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, for the world. We ask that you will send peace to the areas of conflict and especially to the Middle East at the moment, Lord. Lord, we pray for our country as well, Lord, as decisions are made. And Lord, I just ask you to guide all those making the decisions that affect each and every one of us. Lord, we pray for our local area, for Sittingbourne, Lord, for all the things that go on in Sittingbourne. Lord, we just ask you to wake Sittingbourne up, Lord, to you, Lord. Lord, we just ask you that all the things that we do out in the community that we're doing now and we're going to be doing in the future, Lord. Lord, that people will know that the churches of Sittingbourne will be able to reach out and answer those questions that people out there are asking, Lord, that you are the answer to. And Lord, lastly but not at all least, we pray for our church, Lord. We pray for all those that are unwell or in hospital, Lord. You know which ones they are, Lord. And we pray for all those that are unable to get here today for whatever reason and are either watching or listening online, Lord. We especially pray for those that have had bereavements in the last few weeks. And Lord, we just ask you to put your healing arms and your comforting arms around each and every one of those people that are affected. Lord, just bless them and let them know that they're not alone, that you're with them. And Lord, we just welcome everybody who comes here into the church, Lord. Lord, this is your house and we want it to be as welcoming as it can be, as welcoming as you want it to be, Lord. Let everybody here feel welcome, Lord. And as we go into this week ahead, Lord, we just pray that you will pour out your blessings on each and every one of the people here, Lord. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come down upon each and every one of us, Lord. Fill us full of that Holy Spirit that only you can provide, Lord. Fill us up with your blessings and lead us into this week with you in our hearts and foremost in our minds. Lord, we just thank you for everything you do for us. And we thank you for sending us Jesus as that sacrifice so that we can have this living relationship with you. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we do thank you. And in Jesus' name, we say, Amen.
Thank you, Adrian, for leading us in a time of prayer. I'm going to read just a couple of verses of scripture in a moment. This is from Hebrews chapter 12. But before I do that, I just want to give you some context to these verses. As we start on this road towards Easter, chapter 11, as you may know, is just filled with names of people that laid down their lives, literally, for God. And they faced persecution, torture, death, ultimately. And so some of us on this road might find it a straightforward road. Some of us might find it a difficult road to follow. In fact, Jesus said that it's not easy to follow him because of this conflict both within ourselves, with our struggles sometimes, with sin, and also with the things that go on in the world that is contrary to what God wants. And so chapter 11, the reason I'm saying this is that chapter 11 is filled with all sorts of examples of people that have gone before us, that have gone on the same road. Jesus might not have been around at that time, but God was. And so we're following Jesus this morning, and I just want to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and it says this: Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, as he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so with that in mind, and before Nathan comes to open up the word, we're going to sing two songs together. One is called Christ is Mine Forevermore. Some of you might remember it. The last time I think we did this in the church was like almost a year ago. So it was a long time ago. Linda knows this one. So it's straightforward to pick up. Please join in if you remember it, or indeed if you know it. Christ is Mine Forevermore. And then we'll go on to a song, and I'm smiling for a reason, Waymaker. And then after that, Nathan will come up and he will share the word of God with us. So let's stand and sing, Christ is Mine Forevermore.
Amen. Please do take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Good morning to each and every one of you. It's good to see you. Good to see each and every one of you here this morning as we worship our great God together. And it's good to be amongst so many smiley faces and to see you just enjoying the presence of the Lord. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Well, as you've heard from Brian, we are commencing a brand new series this morning entitled The Road to Easter. Can we say that together? The Road to Easter. Good. So over the course of the next few weeks, right up until Easter, we're going to be looking at various passages in the Bible that lead us up until Holy Week. And this morning, I want to draw your attention to a very brief but a very profound conversation. And it's recorded in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. And we're going to read from verse number 31 to 34. Luke chapter 18, verses 31 to 34. And the word of the Lord reads like this. Jesus took the 12 aside, and he told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled." And this is what's going to happen. Verse 32. "He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." And this is the response, our final verse in verse 34, the response to what Jesus had told them. This is what they had to say, the disciples. It says, "The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about." They had no idea. This morning, we're asking the question, are you prepared for challenging road conditions? Let's look at someone next to you and just ask them the question. Are you prepared for challenging road conditions? Friends, down through the years, many have made the attempts to accurately depict or describe what it really means to be a Christian. And even through Scripture, we see various illustrations that give us an idea or a picture of what Christianity is really all about. And church, one of the most helpful depictions of being a Christian that I find most helpful is the idea that following the way of Jesus Christ is analogous to a walk. It is analogous to taking a walk. It is comparable to embarking on a brand new journey. So it carries the idea of movement, a direction of travel. It's an upward trajectory. That's why the hymn writer puts it this way: when we walk with the Lord and in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. So number one, the Christian faith can be analogous to a walk, a journey. But not only is the Christian faith, church, likened to a walk, but it's also described by Paul, and as Brian shared with us through the scripture reading, Paul likens the Christian faith to a race. Can we say a race? He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize?" And then he goes on to say that we should all run in such a way to take hold of that prize. In other words, what Paul was trying to teach was that being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it involves following and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to prune us and to work on those areas within our lives that need development. It's a race. It's a walk. However, church, the problem that I believe with viewing the Christian faith through the lenses of a walk or a race is that sometimes it's possible to underestimate or misunderstand the road conditions. When we walk with the Lord or run the race as Paul describes, sometimes we can misinterpret or misunderstand the conditions of the road or the conditions of the race. Because in the natural sense, the first priority, friends, when we take a walk outside or if we go for a run, we first have to evaluate the conditions. What are the conditions of the surface? What footwear do I need? What clothing is required? What is the weather forecast? Am I prepared for rain? Am I prepared for all weather conditions? I mean, there's nothing worse than being caught off guard with the wrong tools, with the wrong attire. You've come prepared for warm weather conditions only to be met with torrential rain or hailstones, as we had on Friday, I believe. And friends, in like manner, without a more comprehensive study of the Word of God, it's possible to view the Christian faith through the lenses of a one-dimensional perspective and only see the Christian faith through the power of the resurrection. New life, new joy, new hope, happiness, and a bright, bright future. And church, that is all true. However, if we are going to walk with the Lord, if we are going to run the race that Paul describes, then without question, we must also be prepared for challenging road conditions. We have to be prepared. You see, it's one thing to know Jesus Christ through the power of his resurrection, but the challenge is, do you also know him through the fellowship of his suffering? That's another question. Because for those of us who have been walking with the Lord for some time now, then you will know that although walking with the Lord is the greatest walk that you could ever take, but make no mistakes about it, it's not an easy walk. By no means is it a walk in the park. Sometimes along the way on our walk, we are met with obstacles. We are met with setbacks. We are faced with opposition. We are thrown into the deep end at times on our walk. At times, we also face loss, like Job, who lost it all except for his faith. And church, I believe that it's prudent for us that we present the gospel of Jesus Christ not just from the perspective of the resurrection, but we also present the gospel from the vantage point of his suffering. Because Jesus lets us know, church, that if any man or woman or boy or girl wants to follow me, then first they must deny themselves. Take up his or her cross and then follow me. Now, it does not mean that we have to go and die on the cross, because Jesus has already paid it all. But it does mean, however, that walking with the Lord or running this Christian race, it does mean that we will face adversity from time to time along the way. It's not an easy path, but it's the best path. And church, to that end, as we embark on the road to Easter this month, my challenge to all of us this morning, and to myself included, is simply put, are we prepared for challenging road conditions? It's interesting, during the week as I was preparing for this message, I conducted a very simple Google search of the word Easter. And I had a look at all of the images connected to Easter on Google. And I want the team at the back, if you can put up this image. Look at this image. I was met with many images along these lines. And for a moment, church, let's just analyze this image. What a beautiful picture, don't you agree? Serene, tranquil, calm. No stress, no worries. Easy like Sunday morning. A beautiful Easter bunny just chilling and enjoying life. And then we see some eye-catching Easter eggs just waiting for someone to come and enjoy them. And then you can see the sun just shining brightly in the background. The grass, oh, don't it look beautiful? The surface, it looks immaculate. And the reality, church, is that many today, whenever we think about Easter, the conditions of this picture is what first comes to mind. Tranquil, peaceful, beautiful to look at, lovely Easter bunny, and lovely Easter eggs. But the true message of Easter, the true picture of Easter, is not one of tranquility, but it's one that is gory in nature. Can we go to the next picture? Bloody and messy, with the aroma of suffering and death. What a contrast from the first picture. And church, such was the case in a short but a very powerful conversation right here in Luke chapter 18. Jesus here is seeking to prepare his disciples for the third time. This is the third time that he's having this conversation. And the topic of their discussion was to prepare his disciples for the event to come. Jesus wanted his core team to understand that in a short while, he says, guys, we're about to head to Jerusalem. And this journey is not going to be an easy one. In fact, this is going to be the final journey that we make together before I am ultimately crucified on the cross. And Jesus says, guys, I don't want you to be ill-prepared. I don't want you to be confused about this journey. They are going to mock me, friends. They are going to insult me. They're even going to spit on me. And ultimately, yes, they will kill me. But here is my guarantee. On the third day, I am going to rise again. Hallelujah. But church, this was an uncomfortable conversation to have. But although it was uncomfortable for the disciples, it was also very necessary. It was a necessary conversation to have. And in our own lives, friends, sometimes we have the tendency to avoid uncomfortable conversations. Just like the story of a mother whose little girl noticed that her mum's hair color was changing. It was beginning to change from brunette to strands of gray. So the little girl, she looks at her mum and inquisitively she asks, "Mum, why are some of your hairs turning white?" And her mother replied, "Well, every time that you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, it's at that very moment that my hairs turn from brunette to gray." So the little girl, she thought about it for a moment, and then she asked her mum again, "Well, mum, if that's the case, how come all of grandma's hairs are white?" Uh-oh. You see, sometimes it's better to just to tell it as it is. Even if it's uncomfortable, we have to call a spade a spade. Even if we don't want to admit it, like the mother in the story. Gray hairs are just a sign of maturity. And in a similar vein, friends, Jesus holds nothing back here. He gets right to the heart of the matter. He says, "Guys, this is going to be uncomfortable. This is going to be a challenge. Don't be fooled by my welcome into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. They're going to cry Hosanna on Sunday. They're going to shout Hosanna on Sunday. But on Friday, I'm going to be led to my crucifixion. On Sunday, they're going to wave palm branches. But on Friday, I'm going to be led to the place called the Skull on the hill of Golgotha. I will have to suffer. This is the reality." However, friends, the complication here in the conversation, it's clear to see. Despite Jesus making everything crystal clear to his friends, he tells them where they are going, Jerusalem. He tells them what's going to happen. Going to be delivered over to the Romans. Going to be mocked. Going to be insulted. They're going to spit at me. They're going to flog me. They're going to kill me. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. These were clear and very concise instructions from Jesus. Yet the complication here in the text, the response from the disciples, is that they were still left feeling puzzled. They couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Now, bear in mind, as I mentioned before, this was not the first time that Jesus had spoken to his team about this. This was, in fact, the third time that he made mention of his pending death and his suffering. Yet the response from the disciples was simply, "This don't make any sense." And friends, how relevant is the disciples' response to all of our lives as we journey with Christ? Because I don't know about you, but there have been times in my own life, in my journey with walking with the Lord, where his will and his instructions, his plan in my own eyes, made no sense at all. Sometimes the will of God for us will lead us to a road and to a street that we would have never even dreamt of. Sometimes walking with the Lord will call you to a place, to a destination that is simply beyond your wildest dreams. You would have never considered it. Sometimes we even pray for X, but the Lord says no to X, and he leads us to Y. It's the classic truth and reminder that God is not in the business of supplying our wants, but he does specialize in supplying and providing our needs. It's just like the story of the man who was stuck in a flood and he was praying to God for help. And then soon a man in a rowboat came by and the man shouted to the roof and said, "Jump in, I can save you." But then the stranded fellow, he said, "No, it's okay. I'm praying to God and he is going to save me." So he left. Then a motorboat came by. And the lady in the motorboat, she shouted, "Jump in, I can save you." And to this, the stranded man, he replied, "No thanks. I'm praying to God. And he alone is going to save me. I have faith." So the motorboat went by. And then finally, a helicopter arrived on the sea, and the pilot shouted down, "Grab the rope, I will lift you to safety." But to this the stranded man replied, "No thanks, I'm praying to God and he is going to save me. I have faith, I trust God." So the helicopter went on his way reluctantly. And soon, friends, the water rose above the rooftop and the man drowned. And he went to heaven and he finally got the chance to discuss the whole situation face to face with God. At the point where he exclaimed out of frustration to the divine, "I had faith in you. Why did you let me down? You did not save me. You let me drown. I don't understand why." But then God replied to him, "I sent you a rowboat. I sent you a motorboat. I sent you a helicopter. What else did you expect?" You see, church, we always have to pray that we remain in step with God through his Holy Spirit so that we can understand what he is doing in our lives, so that he can help our finite understanding when just like the disciples, you just don't get it. God is there to help us when we're confused. But church, not only do we see this uncomfortable conversation, not only do we see the complication and that there was a lack of understanding from the disciples, but penultimately this morning, we also see that there are no detours allowed. Can we go to the next slide? There are no detours allowed. Can we say that together? No detours allowed. Jesus says to his team, friends, "We are going to Jerusalem." It's a certainty. Now, I know you would prefer another route. I know you would prefer a more convenient road of travel. But this is the divine assignment. It was prophesied by the prophets of old, and now it must come to pass. It must be fulfilled. And church, this lets us know that in all of our lives, as we follow Christ on his road, on the narrow path, we see that this is the recognition that challenging road conditions are inevitable. The road leading to the resurrection will always be accompanied by potholes, by trials, by tests, by suffering, loss, and yes, even setbacks. And as believers, we must be prepared for such conditions. You see, in the natural, through technology, if we were to decide this afternoon that we're going to take a trip to Birmingham, then now we have the ability through technology to look ahead through Google Maps, and we can see and assess the current road conditions. Google Maps can inform us and tell us if there is an accident on the way. It can tell us of any pending delays en route. We can check also the weather conditions. We can plan ahead for such challenging road conditions. It's just like my wife Anna, regardless of the distance of the journey, she will always take a look at the road conditions. I was taking her to work. Her car was going for a service this week, and I was just dropping her to Rochester at school in the morning. And before we could go any further, very quickly she was on Google Maps. No, before we go, let's assess the route. Let's see the diversions. Let's see if there's any trouble on the way. I'm not so organized that way. We, as a preacher, we just go by faith and not by sight. However, there are times in our lives, church, where we are met with challenging road conditions without any warning. No prior notice. And sometimes we wonder, Father, I wish I was prepared for this. I wish I was prepared for such bad news. I wish that this news didn't just pop out of the blue. I wish, Lord, that you had just given me a heads up. I wish you would have just given me a memo when my loved one was taken from me. I wish you would have sent me an email to let me know that hard times was around the corner. However, although in the natural sense it may appear as if we have no prior warning, but the Bible does give us a clear heads up that whoever wants to walk with Jesus, whoever wants to follow the way of the Messiah, then they must deny themselves, and here it is, take up their cross and follow me. In other words, a crossless faith is a counterfeit faith. I want to say that again. A crossless faith is a counterfeit faith. If I were to come up here each week and preach a gospel that says, come and follow Jesus, he will make you rich, you'll never be sick another day in your life, you'll always be happy, you'll have everything that you want, you'll always live in abundance, and I would not be telling you the truth. I would be prophesying, not prophesying. Because although we don't have to die on the cross, because Jesus has paid the price for sin, he's paid it all. But it does not mean, however, that the Christian won't have to endure challenging road conditions. Yes, the road may be rough, and the going will get tough from time to time, and the hills may be hard to climb, but the good news is that although challenging road conditions are part and parcel with following Jesus, but the good news is, church, is we never have to walk this uncomfortable road alone. David says, I love this, he says, there's one thing that I have never seen over 40 years of being the king over Israel. He says, I haven't seen this one thing. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I have never seen his seed begging for bread. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never abandon his children. So yes, no detours are allowed for us. But he promises to be right with us when we are met with obstacles on the way. So no detours are allowed, but God will be with us. But finally this morning, here is the celebration. Although no detours are allowed on the journey, the road, although it will be challenging, the road will ultimately lead to joy. The challenging road will ultimately lead to pure joy. You see, church, in the midst of it all that Jesus had to say and inform his disciples about his pending suffering, there are 8 words that the disciples failed to focus on. Out of everything that he said about his suffering, about the challenging road conditions, what they really should have honed in on was the final 8 words of verse 33. Here it is. On the third day, he will rise again. You're not excited like me. This is good news. On the third day, Jesus promises his disciples, I will rise again. Yes, the road is not going to be easy. But the road to Easter, the road to the cross, yes, it's going to be painstaking. But in 3 days, I will rise again. And I don't know who this is for this morning, but be encouraged, my friends. Whatever you are going through in your life right now, whatever you are facing on your road this morning, be encouraged that weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Be encouraged, church. That the road, although it is painstaking and may be filled with potholes, but we have the assurance of the resurrection that death could not hold him down. On the third day, he will rise again. And that very same power of the resurrection is available for all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. And now he invites us all to share in his resurrection so that we can be assured of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So this morning I want to close with the words of an old song. You know I love the old ones. And it simply says, I don't feel no ways tired. I've come too far from where I've started from. And then it goes on to say, nobody told me that the road would be easy. But I don't believe he's brought me this far just to leave me. Hallelujah. So my question to you today is, are you prepared for challenging road conditions? Do you understand that the road that Christ calls us to, the walk that he calls us to take, the race that he calls us to run, is not an easy road of travel? And although challenging road conditions are inevitable for the church, the good news of our salvation is that this is a road that does not lead to a dead end. But it leads to the resurrection, where there is joy unspeakable and full of glory, where there is peace that surpasses all understanding, and where there is unconditional love, grace and mercy. And it's a road that ultimately leads to heaven, where the wicked will cease from their troubling, where there will be no more wars or rumors of wars, where God will wipe every tear from our eyes, and so shall we forever be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not tried to hide the truth from us, but you have given us the truth of your gospel. And although attached to the gospel message is the suffering and the pain that you endured on our behalf, we're grateful that ultimately the road leads to the resurrection. And we thank you that we can rejoice, that we know that although we will be faced with trouble along the way, that although we will be faced with challenges and potholes along the way, but we thank you that our future is assured through Jesus Christ, that nothing can separate us from your love, that every step of the way we are covered by your grace and we are covered by your love. And Father, I pray for anyone here this morning who is experiencing difficulties on the road this morning. Whatever the challenge may be, whatever the problem may be, I pray today that they would leave encouraged, knowing that you are with them, that they are not alone on the journey, but you promise to lead us into all truth, and you promise to never leave nor forsake us. So we thank you now, and as we continue the road to Easter, would you continue to bless us, continue to strengthen us as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As Brian and the worship team come back, if there be one today who has not yet made a decision to embark upon this new journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm here to encourage you that today you can start this brand new journey. And as I said in the message, I'm not here to lie to you that it's always going to be an easy road, but I do want you to know that this is the best walk that you could ever take. It is the best race that you could ever run. And all are welcome to come and follow Jesus. So if you want to know more about the love of God, if you have some questions, then please feel free to come and speak to me or any one of the deacons, our leaders. Our prayer partners will be in the prayer corner after the service, and we'll love to share more with you. God bless you all.
To go through that journey on that road to Easter, as we come to a close of the service, well, we already know what the end of the road holds, don't we? We know it's all good for the saints, and so we're going to close the service by a song. We're going to stand and sing a song that's reflecting what we know is coming ahead, because we know whether our end is soon, whether in our natural life or God takes it, he comes back and takes the church. We know at that time that there's a place where the streets shine. So let's stand and sing, "There's a Place." Well, as we bring this service to a close, I want to remind you that we have a reflective service later on today, where you can enjoy communion there too also. And I'm going to leave you with this benediction. Feel free after the service to go into the lounge, partake in fellowship, teas, coffees, biscuits, whatever's there. But let's leave with this. This is taken from Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God, our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.